Well, I will be speaking about humility today, but not just humility, but more of the challenges when it comes to humility. We read several passages in the Bible about humility, and it is something that God expects of us. And humility is also another word for humble. In Matthew 5, Christ talks about the Beatitudes, and he starts off with the importance of being humble in verse 3. So if you look at that real quick, at Matthew chapter 5 and verse 3. He starts off by saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is a kingdom of heaven." So that requires of us to be humble. So what he is saying here is that for us to be in the kingdom, we must have a spirit of humility, which is also defined as a lowliness of mind, which is an attitude that is expressed from the heart, not just from outward behavior. You know, one may be able to fool everyone else by putting on an outward show of humility, but still have a heart full of pride and arrogance, and let me also add, hypocrisy. And that is very dangerous because God knows. He knows everything, and we cannot hide anything from him. We may be able to hide from everybody else out there, but God knows. The behavior that Christ describes in Matthew 23 about the Pharisees is the opposite of humility, and also the opposite way that Christ lived. So if you look at Matthew chapter 23, the heading is already entitled, "Woe to the Scribes and the Pharisees, so warning to the hypocrites." But this can apply to many things that we are going through in life, especially with people that we are around. And it's also, you have to be careful that we don't become like that. So in Matthew chapter 23 and verse 1, Jesus spoke to the multitudes and to his disciples, saying, "The Scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Therefore, whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do. And do not do according to their works, for they say and do not do." Here's the thing. So they can fool everybody around them. They say all these things, but they themselves don't do it. "For they bind heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do, to be seen by men. They make their paralytics broad and enlarge the borders of their garments." Notice they are doing works here, but not the type of works that God is looking for. "They love the best places at feasts and the best seats in the synagogues, greetings in the marketplaces, and to be called by men, Rabbi, Rabbi." They seek attention. "But you do not be called Rabbi, for one is your teacher, the Christ, and you are all brethren. Do not call anyone on earth your father, for one is your father, he who is in heaven." So right here, even. So even when we pray to God the Father. We don't pray to anybody else. "And do not be called teachers, for one is your teacher, the Christ. But he who is greatest among you shall be your servant, and whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." So in other words, he says that whoever is the greatest should be the servant of the others. So let's say whoever thinks they are the greatest. If you put yourself above others, you will be put down. But if you humble yourself, you will be honored. What is important is how we conduct ourselves in our lives, and that we are a good example, not just to ourselves, but also to God. That is, we have to be diligent in all we do, diligently keeping his law, for it is our future that is at stake. We cannot speak for somebody else to see if they will make it. We have to make sure that we make it. We have to be humble. And we must not forget that we are constantly growing in wisdom. Yes, there are many of us who have been in the church for many, many years. And we have seen many, many things, and we have gone through many changes when it comes to the splits of the Church of God And we have learned a lot along the way, how to handle certain situations, especially when the ministry is concerned. And there's no doubt we are growing and our message is being heard all over the world. And yes, we still have to have humility when handling certain situations, especially when it comes to brand new people who have no knowledge of the truth from where they came from. A lot of them are just coming straight out of the world. They have no idea about the knowledge of the truth. Yet, they discovered us somehow, and they have some kind of interest. But still, we have to take it one step at a time. Like a child who's growing up has to be learned, has to be taught one step at a time. Now, how many of us have grown up in the church, and yet we still find something new when we study the Bible? Something that we haven't thought of before, a different perspective, something. And sure, we may be confronted by people in the world who think they know everything, but unfortunately, they know absolutely nothing. And that is where our humility is put to the challenge. Let's say, for example, when somebody wishes you a Merry Christmas, or when someone expects you to congratulate them because they have just joined the army, or let's say their child has been baptized at 10 years old, or, the best one of all, God loves you no matter what you do, and so on and so on. So, what is your reaction going to be when you hear something like that? You know, being patient with our responses will go a long way. Now, in certain examples, saying nothing is the best answer. But if we do have to give an answer, we have to be careful what we say. We shouldn't be quick to act, but careful with prayer and studying. That's why we need to continue to study. That's why we need to know what we need to say by looking at His Word. We have to be careful not to refrain from arguments, from these worthless arguments, because after all, we do know the truth. We believe that, right? We do know the truth, and we have proved it from the Bible. Because we also have been called to the understanding of the truth. Now, we ourselves don't want to be going around thinking that we know everything, shoving the truth down people's throats, let's just say, going door to door, passing out literature at public places where people don't even ask for it, like throwing our pearls to the swine, giving our precious knowledge away to those who don't understand or don't even care. That right there is a waste of time. This is why we do what we do. Our commission is to preach the gospel, along with our literature, which we post online that anyone has access to. And those who have an ear to hear will hear the messages. And those who are interested will contact us and ask for literature. See, we do our part, initial part, but then God does the rest. Now, in speaking about an example about somebody in the Bible who was full of humility, who's actually mentioned in the Bible as the most humble person, that would be Moses. Yet, there were still times when he didn't do things that God wanted him to do. And because of that reason, he was not able to enter the promised land. Moses took credit for himself rather than God when he struck the rock in the wilderness and water came out. And notice the reaction or the response that God gave in Numbers chapter 20 and verse 12. Numbers chapter 20 and verse 12. Then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, "Because you did not believe me to hallow me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have given them." Now we may think to ourselves, well, that wasn't that bad, you know, especially considering all the good things that Moses had done. That seems pretty harsh by God to not allow him to go in the promised land. However, God was with Moses several times, and Moses saw firsthand how God intervened every single time, time and time again. And Moses should have remembered that. And there comes a time when God's patience runs out. If God has a specific purpose for each of us, which he expects from us, a decision that we also have made to live righteously, of course, when we decided to get baptized, so we can overcome our weaknesses, so we can come out of the world, then God will help us. And he will be there for us. And he will continue to bless us. Notice, it's a continuation. It's a lifelong commitment. It doesn't last for a little bit and then goes away, and then we can do whatever we want again. The thing is, when we lack in this and we lack in our willpower, do we actually pray to God to give us some more of his Holy Spirit, which gives us strength, which is supposed to help us become stronger so we can overcome? Because if we can't overcome, then chances are God's Spirit is not within us. Notice Romans chapter 8 and verse 26. Romans chapter 8 and verse 26. We read, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Now David understood that as he prayed in Psalms chapter 51 and verse 10 and 11. Psalm 51 and in verse 10, he said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. It was always a process. It was always a renewal that he was asking for. He needed God's Spirit to be successful. Without God's Spirit, there was not going to be any success. And he realized that. And in verse 11, do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Obviously, because if he were to take the Holy Spirit from him, he would not succeed. And that's the same mindset that we need to have as well, especially when we go through hard trials, when we go through these challenges, that we need to continually ask in prayer, but also for God's Spirit to help us. If we continue to disobey by not overcoming our weaknesses, then the time will come when God has had enough. And we're very familiar with that scripture in Matthew chapter 7, verses 19 and 20. What happens to the tree that doesn't bear good fruit? God gives us chances. He is patient with us, but when we continue to disobey, then God will ultimately would stop trying as well. Now, this is a very serious thing. We need to make sure that this does not happen to us, because it has happened to many others, and it will continue to happen in the Church of God. We must have our priorities straightened out by putting God first in our lives and trusting in him in all things. And if we have that confidence, the challenges that we face in life should become less and less challenging.